All right. Look in your Bible to Luke. I want to look at Matthew 26. We're going to talk about the highest level of authority that was ever demonstrated in the earth realm. And that was done by the Master Jesus. He masters everything. And he's the master of obedience. And the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane was the highest form of obedience that ever existed or ever will exist. Jesus masters everything. That's why he's the master. But he mastered the lesson of obedience. You in Matthew 26 yet? 26:36. I need me a reader. I like someone to read. Who want to read for me? Read loud and read clear. Nobody volunteers. I'm about to pick somebody. Yeah, I'm looking at you right now. Read. Begin at verse 36.
Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me.
Keep reading.
And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me.
That's it. That's good. Thank you. Okay. These, however many scriptures it is, tell the whole story about Jesus himself. The Bible said he was in agony. Jesus said his soul was exceedingly, that's the word exceedingly, it beyond normal, exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Now that was the state of mind Jesus was in. We're talking about Jesus now. Now think about this. The position Jesus was in, some thought it was because of the weakness of his flesh. If you read the book, but it wasn't necessarily the weakness of his flesh. He was wrestling with a spiritual decision he had to make. Wasn't so much the cross. It wasn't that he was afraid to go to the cross. Wasn't even the subject right now. The whole point of what Jesus was going through, his agony, his the pain and the sorrow that he was in. He talked about the cup. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what he said, let thy will be done. Well, the whole point of the thing is, I mentioned a little bit last time we met. When you're at a point of decision making, if it's a crisis or if it has something to do with a life situation or something that makes a difference between success or failure, winning or losing, exceeding or failure, then there's that space, almost like a dark space you gotta go through that you wrestle with. And most people have to come to the point where they have to know that God is not gonna bless your thoughts. God's not gonna bless your ideas. God's not even gonna bless your feelings. All right? God blesses one thing, that your will becomes his will. And the whole point of what Jesus was wrestling with in the garden is, Lord, if it's the cross, let it be so. But if it's not the cross, I want to know what your will is. And sometimes you struggle in life to know the will of God, and the problem with the church, the problem with believers, the problem with most Christians is that they don't take the time to do what? Know the will of God. You go to that spiritual sister, that spiritual brother. They want somebody to give them a word. They want somebody to prophesy to them. They want to ease the way out. And yes, haven't found the will of God. But until you settle down, get to a place, I'm trying to make this thing live for us. Until you settle down, spend time with God. Say, Lord, I don't want my will right here. Lord, I don't want to do what I want to do. What do you want me to do? The Bible says Jesus prayed 3 times. Try and get the will of God settled in his heart. And you notice when Jesus got to the point of understanding what God's will was, when that thing dropped down in him, when that thing became a part of his innermost being, when that thing became a part of his understanding, when he knew in his knower, in his, you know what I'm saying, that it was God's will that he go through the cross, it was a settled case. He said, arise, take your rest, let us be going. It was settled. Nothing going to be settled in your life unless you know what the will of God is for your life. Take time out of your busy schedule to make it a point that whatever you're faced with, whatever decision you're faced with, then I'm going to take time to find out what the will of God is. People run off in ministry. Don't even know if it's the will of God for them in ministry. Never get a clear understanding of what God wants. But they know what they want, and they know what people think. Oh, you look like you're a good little preacher. You like a little preacher. Anybody ever told you that? You sure like a little preacher. And all of a sudden, you think you called. All right. Let me give you some points now. I want to read the whole thing. But, you know, I got to the part in the scriptures where Jesus, them boys were sleeping. You saw where those boys were sleeping? They went to sleep in Jesus' most crucial period of his earthly life. But one other translation said they were worn out from grief. I never look at it like that. They were worn out from sorrow in Luke 22. Luke 22 tells the same scenario. But he said they were worn out because they sort of felt what Jesus was feeling. The Bible said that in Luke 22, 44, that his sweat was dropping as it didn't say it was dropping, blood was dropping. the sweat was dropping as great drops of blood. You know, theologians try to make sense of it, but I'm going to stick with the Bible. But anyway, that's showing you the point of the agony that he was going through, the seriousness of him pleasing God. There's a seriousness in us pleasing God. We take it for common ground, pleasing God. No, every time you please God, there's a seriousness, a crucialness. Every time God prompts us to do, or prompts us with a leading, or you get an inkling in your spirit to do something, and you want to make sure it's God prompting you, then that's a seriousness behind it. Whenever God tells us to do something, heaven is beckoning the will of heaven to come to earth. That's a crucialness about it. Every time God prompts you to talk to someone about Jesus, there's a crucialness. What am I saying? I'm saying God trying to get something from, Lord, let your will in heaven be done on earth. We pray it every day. But there's a crucialness. God trying to get something in the earth realm. Unless you obey, you're disqualifying yourself with God. The apostle talked about it tonight. He talked about how God rang his doorbell because he went after the will of God. You got to go after the will of God. And we're going to talk about later in the lesson, you must set yourself, more people don't do it, to know the will of God. Because the will of God is his authority. God's authority and the will of God is synonymous. So take time to know the will of God in every situation. Don't just do things of your own mind. Don't just consent to anything. No, make sure you're in the will of God on this situation. I can't stress how important it is to know the will of God. Now, let me get to this first point here, because I don't want to miss anything that's crucial as understanding the will of God. That's not the first point. Some think our Lord's Prayer in Gethsemane, when his sweat fell like great drops of blood, was due to the weakness of his flesh, to his fear of drinking the cup. There never was any fear in Jesus of drinking the cup. The prayer in Gethsemane is the same principle as 1 Samuel 15:22. What's 1 Samuel 15:22 said? The prophet Samuel told Saul, obedience to what? Let me read it. And Samuel said, had the Lord had great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. We use the word obedience. It's better than sacrifice and the hearken than the fat of ram. What he's really saying is obedience is better than your sacrifice. Sacrifice is on one hand, and obedience is on the other hand. So Jesus was up against a sacrifice and the will to obey. Saul wanted to offer sacrifice instead of obeying. You see the difference? Jesus was warring against not so much the sacrifice, but to learn obedience. I want to know what obedience is here. Where my obedience going to lie? What can I tag my obedience to? Because God could have did it anyway beside the cross. He God, ain't he? God has a thousand ways to bring redemption to man. Just so happened the cross had to be the way. So Jesus wasn't warring about the sacrifice. He was warring about Lord, how you want to do this? I want to make sure I do it your way. You know, the church is so far from that. The church, yes, the church copies stuff. How are you going to be in God's will when you find out what another church is doing and you try to copy it? But is that the will of God? No, it ain't about copying. That's like offering a sacrifice. No, it's about finding out what God's will is and then tying or tapping into God's will. You want to do that in all your life. People make decisions based on feelings and emotions, their desires. They follow their desires. It becomes their will. And they find all and try to make their will God's will. And God can't bless your will. I don't care how you dress it up. That was Saul tried to get God to bless what he wanted to do. And God couldn't bless it. God said, you can't be no more king to me because you're not following after me. You're following after yourself and your people. Samuel places obeying higher than sacrifice. You see it? That's the same line with Jesus. Jesus placed obedience higher than the cross. Can you see this? Hey, you need to understand this. Jesus placed obedience higher than the cross. You see it? He wasn't copping out. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but let thy will be done. Now look at this now. It is the high prayer in which our Lord expressed his obedience to God's authority. Not my will, thy will be done. Our Lord obeys authority. In right side authority, I got God's will in parentheses. Because I'm putting God's will and authority in the same place. God, our Lord obeyed God's authority with God's will first, more than sacrificing himself on the cross. See how important this is? Sometimes it's easier to offer sacrifice than to obey. Can you think about any time in your life when you find it was easier to offer the sacrifice, substitute, to offer a substitute from doing what God really told you to do? Anybody ever done that? I'm raising my hand up first. I offered a substitute sacrifice. You see it? God don't want your sacrifice if it's not lined up with his will. You see it? That's a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. That's when he ordered. Any sacrifice that you're gonna do had to be a sacrifice that God ordered. And that's what we try to get the children of Israel to do. Sacrifice according to his word and according to his prophets. That's why God got upset when Saul, earlier in 1 Samuel, Saul was supposed to be in a certain place on the seventh day. Samuel was supposed to meet Saul in a certain place, and he will inquire of the Lord for Saul concerning certain battle. Well, Samuel, the prophet, delayed himself from his coming. So Saul took upon himself to offer the sacrifice that God didn't tell him to offer. And as soon as he offered the sacrifice, there comes Samuel shows up. Samuel said, what foolish thing, that's the word used. What foolish thing have you done? He did something that God didn't tell him to do. And he said, because of this day, the kingdom is being taken away from you. You see it? It sounded like a simple thing he did. It sounded like it wasn't enough to take the kingdom from a king. But when you disobey God, sometimes God will pull his anointing back. And you think you're anointed, and you go out there without the anointing of God, and you fall flat on your face. Whenever you disobey, God is pulling something back from you. You see it? You see it? You got a lot of people think they in the will of God, but that anointing has been pulled back from them. And then they're operating and functioning in performance. They're operating and functioning in flesh, really. They're operating and functioning in knowledge. You can do a lot of things in knowledge. You see it? Because you've been doing it for so long. It become a routine. So they're operating in routine. Without revelation, people dying, suffering, struggling. I met a man today. I went to the lumber yard to pick up some stuff. And I said, how much you know about Jesus? That's what I told him today. He said, not much. I said, oh, Lord, it's a good candidate for me to talk to. He said, I go to church, Mount so-and-so. I said, well, that's his problem. And he said, man, it's a bad day for me today. My son took my truck and burned my motor up in it. And I began to minister to him, you see. I ministered to him Romans 8:28. I said, this scripture might not sound right if you ever heard it before. And we know that all things work together for good. And I said, I'm not a prophet, but let me prophesy to you. I said, good coming to you today. He looked at me. I said, good coming to you today. And I won't know if he believed it. You see it? And then I said, look, I pull out that card. Yeah, I always keep a card in my pocket. Be my guest card. Y'all pull one out lately? I pull out that card and give it. I said, man, come see us. I said, you're going to learn some things. Yeah. You're going to learn some things. And then after I left, I said, Lord, let your anointing rest on that card. Let conviction come with that card. Every time we look at it, draw him. Let there be a drawing. Let there be a drawing tool. And let him not be able to rest until you come and see. I prayed for him. Yeah. Yeah. See, that was my part of obedience. You see? I could have made some excuse, like most people do. Isn't it easy to make excuse when the Lord tell you, I don't have time. My lunch break ain't that long. That's a sacrifice. It's not obedience. You see, so you're just telling something just to pacify yourself and not do the will of God. And the more folks say 99.5 just won't do. All right. Now here's the next point here. The next point. Here it is. He prays, Jesus did. He prays earnestly that he may know what is the will of God. You see, those three times, that's what he was praying about. That what he was sweating about. That what he was in agony about. That what he was, one translation said he prays earnestly to know what the will of God is. If Jesus needs to know the will of God, where did that leave you and you and you and me? He prayed earnestly. So from this day forward, I know I need to pray earnestly what the will of the Lord is. Be it small or be... See, sometimes we want to handle the little stuff ourselves. You see, the Bible says, acknowledge him in all thy ways or some of thy ways. See, we take care of the little stuff ourselves. We don't acknowledge God in everything. Be honest with yourself. We make our own decisions. And when it don't work out right, we're trying to find some excuse for failure. You see it? But acknowledge God in all your ways means, Lord, what your will is for this? I don't care what it is. It could be making a simple purchase. You can see something you want, you desire. And, you know, we all got our little toys we like to play with. And we look at these little desires, and because we can afford it, and because it's not going to hurt our household, and we make our own decision to get it and do it, and don't acknowledge God, you might be on your own. You see it? Acknowledge God in everything. I learned that lesson. It saved me. And then there's the Holy Ghost. Just when I was about to do something, just when I was about to make that final move, I get a check in my spirit. I said, I can't do that. That's the Lord giving me a second chance to say, hey, it ain't my will. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He help us, if you got ears to hear, and keep us right smack where? In the will of God. And men are led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14, they are what? The sons of God. So always pay attention to the Holy Ghost leading. He's not going to lead you out of the will of God. He led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember that in Mark and Matthew 4? But he was leading Jesus right into the will of God to be tempted. It was the will of God for Jesus to be tempted. To show us that there's no temptation coming to man in Hebrew. But with the temptation, always give us a means of escape. You with me? All right. Now, he prays honestly. You know, he does not say, I want to be crucified. I must drink the cup. He merely insists on obeying. You see it? He says, in effect, if it be possible for me not to go to the cross, but even here, he has not his own will. Immediately, he continues, but thy will be done. You see it? Lord, this is what I would be nice if I didn't have to go to the cross. But if, nevertheless, Lord, I don't want my will here. I'm repeating the same thing over and over because I'm trying to get something across here. How important the will of God is and how Jesus demonstrated this thing. The will of God is the absolute thing. The cup is, the crucifixion is not absolute. You understand that statement? The will of God is the sure thing. The will of God is sure thing. Right now, the crucifixion was not the sure thing to Jesus until the two became one. You see it? You got to make sure the two become one. What two is? Your will and God's will got to become one. You see it? Your desire and God's desire got to become one. You see it? If you're not one, then you're going to find yourself out of the will of God. Even with your great desire. Even with your great dream. That dream might not be the will of God. You know? That dream you've been having, make sure it's in the will of God. You see? That big project that you've been planning for years and years and years, make sure it's in the will of God. You see it? You see it? Because sometimes we hold on to things and trying to make them come to pass when God ain't got nothing to do with it. And you end up in struggle. You see it? But you know you can't struggle in the will of God. Should God will that the Lord not be crucified, you hear that? Then he would not need to go to the cross. It's all about the will. Before he knew, this is what I'll try and get to. Before Jesus knew the will of God, the cup on one hand and God's will were two separate things. I want to know if y'all are seeing this. This is an important lesson. After he knew it was of God, Told me the cup, the cross. However, the cup and God's will merge into one. You see it? Will represents authority. Always remember that. Will represents authority. What will? God's will. It's God's authority. And God's will is what he wants in the earth realm. And that's the most important thing on the face of this earth. Finding out what God's will is, number one. Then number two, obeying it. Find out what God's will is, and then obey it. Sound easy, huh? Find out what God's will is, I'm saying it third time. Sound easy. But watch so many people wrestle with it. Watch so many people get out of it. Watch so many people function out of the will of God if it sounds so easy. You see it? You know why? Because most people are self-willed. That's a satanic principle. Self-will mean willing to please self rather than God. Self-will, not what God wants, but what about what I want? You got self-will in marriages. You see it? But I'm not going over that. It's the truth. No truth, nothing but the truth. Therefore, to know God's will and to obey it, is to be subject to authority. Boy, that's a good definition of being subject to authority. To know God's will and to obey it is to be subject to authority. So if you know God's will and you obey it, then you are subject to authority. Now, let me break it down. We got the apostolic cards. I'm gonna ride this thing. Because apostle on this wave here. I don't want to call it a wave, because wave comes and go. He got us on this assignment from God. These apostolic cards. And what happening is, we know it's God's will. It's not apostle's will. You see, sometimes people got trouble separating the man, you know, from God. Well, you can't separate them when they separate to one another. You see? So, apostle following God's will, and he talking about the apostolic cords, and once we know God's will, see, we ain't got to pray about that. We ain't got to say, Lord, is the apostolic cause your will? No! We know it's God's will. We got to obey it. Well, why so many people struggle with it? You see, that's my point. If they know it's God's will, why they struggle with it? Why wouldn't the apostle say, who brought somebody today? Why? One or two might stand up and everybody looking around at each other, you know, and come up with some excuse. Like, if you talk to somebody and it didn't come, you can't control that. As long as you're obeying and doing your part, as far as God's concerned, you did the will of God. You can't make them come. You can bring a horse to water. I tried it one time. I brought a horse to some water in the big trough right there, and I grabbed this horse, and I just wanted to prove a point. I hung on his neck. I said, I'm going to prove this point, but this horse is going to drink some water. I said, he's going to drink this. I said, I'm going to see if that's the tale or if that's the truth. So I grabbed his horse's neck, and I put all my weight on him. Horse just looked at me. You know, he's stronger than me. Right. He would not drink. So my point is that you can tell people, but you can't make them, but they're accountable because you told them. For God's concern, you have done his will. And he know when you sit in your church on Sunday, there's no condemnation because you ain't got no guilt. You ain't no condemnation to you because you did what God told you to do. I told him, Lord, like I give that man a call today. I can't make him come. I would like to, like this heart grab his head and then pull it in the church. Can't do that either. But I did the will of God. You see? And I'm keep doing the will of God. Every time God tell me, tell him about Jesus and give him a card. Invite him. And not just to be, not just to do it, what that word, mechanically. Just so I can tell the pastor, I told somebody, here, take this call. Take this call, baby. Take this call. Just to get it, to say, apostle, I get, no. We talking this thing got to be a serious motive. Because this is the will of God. It's not just a card anymore. The card then transform itself to the will of God. I'm doing the will of God. I'm in the apostolic, under the apostolic government, and this is what God is doing these days. I'm trying to make a point here. Am I doing any good?
Yes, sir.
Am I touching somebody's heart? It's not about condemnation. It's about understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see it? It just so happens to be the card, the apostolic card. It's a good tool to demonstrate what God's trying to show us today. All right? That's my time already. 3 minutes. Good Lord. Now listen to this point. How can one be subject to authority if he does not pray or have the heart to know God's will? And that's a powerful statement. Huh? How can you can't be subject to authority if you don't take time to pray or have the heart to know God's will? In going to the cross, I'm back with Jesus now. In going to the cross, he accomplishes God's will. In talking to that person God sent you to, and that person may not respond like you want them to respond. You might want to pray the sinners pray with them. And that person might tell you, to, I talked to one young man, came to the warehouse to deliver water. Kentwood man. And so I began to tell him about Jesus. He said, hold it. My dad told me two things. Don't talk about politics or I forget what the other one was. I said, you ever thought about your daddy might be wrong? I told him. I put my finger. See, that was an assignment. Who can I put my finger in the face? I'm going to use you. I put my finger in the face. I said, I'll never tell you another. The Holy Ghost had me tell him that. I said, I'll never tell you another thing but Jesus. Boy, I think the Lord arrested him. But I did what the Lord told me to do. Whether rejection or not. You see, far as I'm concerned, I accomplish God's will. That's my point. You see, sometimes people think because the Lord told you that they're going to get saved. I wouldn't tell another young man, and my time almost up, I wouldn't tell another man, the Lord told me to go to his house. He said, go to his house and tell him about Jesus. And it was 11:30 at night. He told me at 9:30, but I just won't go. And I messed around because I didn't want to go. And then I couldn't resist it no more. You know, it was so strong, I couldn't resist it. I got to put some clothes on. I said, Lord, this man's sleeping by now. So I go to his house. I drive to his house. And I knock on the door. As soon as I knock on the door, he jumped up and came to the door. I said, surely this man going to get saved tonight. The Lord tell me 11:30 at night. And then this man jump up, T-shirt and short, no shirt and short pants on. He let me jump out of the bed. And he was my friend. He was my street friend. I brought him out in the street and I got saved and left him out in the street. And so I feel like I had some kind of a connection here. And so I preached on him. I preached on him for 30 minutes. I preached to him. I'm crying. He crying. I said, man, you can accept Jesus right now. He said, I ain't ready yet. I said, oh, man. So I pull out another text. I said, man, going to get saved today. And I preached for another text. It was almost 1 o'clock before I left the man home. And so the man wouldn't accept Jesus Christ. I got in my house, my car, disappointed. I said, Lord, I just knew the man was going to get saved. Know what he said? You did what I told you to do. He said, because I was upset with the Lord. Yeah, I mean, I knew it might have been wrong, but 11:30, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and the man didn't get saved. He said, you did what I told you to do. Then he gave me the scripture. One planted. See, they have to plant sometimes. You don't know if you plant another water. He said, but I give the increase. and I went home satisfied, rejoicing and shouting because I know I had done the will of God. Amen. Amen. My time up. I sure.